Well, good morning or afternoon. I'd like to pray before we start, if I could. Dear Lord, thank you that we have the ability to pray to you, to call you shepherd. As we look at Psalm 23 today, please help us to be able to see how you're the one that takes care of us. Please help me specifically to not remember the lies of the earthly shepherd that I had, but to hear your truth. Please help us to realize that you're the one we can turn to, that we can trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are starting a new series on Psalm 23 that'll take us through the summer. And the reason I chose that was because we have the kids up here. And it's great having the kids because they get my jokes. They're kid jokes. That's what I'm good at. And they also smile and laugh and make noise. And it's really fun to have you guys here. So if you have your clipboards, kids, this is the time you can use them, because we're going to be talking all about Psalm 23. And to start it, and actually to start every of the sermons this summer, I'm going to read you part of Sammy and his shepherd. So it is a picture book, and I took pictures of the pictures for you. So this is how it starts. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm such a happy sheep, Sammy thought as he grazed contentedly in the lush pasture. He looked up and noticed a sheep in the next pasture, looking longingly through the fence. He also noticed that the other pasture was not as nice as his. I've never thought how many rocks and how little grass are in that pasture, he thought. Sammy ambled towards the fence. Hi, he called to the other sheep. What's your name?
I don't have a name, the sheep said.
Sammy tried not to appear shocked, but he couldn't imagine a sheep not having a name. Then he noticed that the sheep was very skinny and that flies were buzzing around his head, or her head. The little sheep asked, do you have a name?
My name is Samuel, but everyone calls me Sammy.
Where did you get your name?
My shepherd named me soon after he bought me. He names all of his sheep.
Why does he do that? The sheep asked as she shook her head to try to make the flies go away.
Well, I guess because he loves each one of us and he knows us by name. Samuel means heard by God. I was wounded and I was sick when my shepherd bought me. And he prayed for me. He named me Samuel so that I would always remember that God heard his prayers.
You sure seem happy, the little sheep said.
Of course I'm happy. I have the best shepherd in the whole world. I know that I will never want for anything.
How can you know that?
Because my shepherd loves me, and he always takes care of me, Sammy answered.
I don't understand, the little sheep said. Look at this pasture. There's never enough grass to eat. I'm always hungry, and our water isn't very good either.
I'm sorry you're hungry, Sammy replied. I always have enough food and water because my shepherd gives me everything I need.
Do you mean that you never have to walk through scary valleys or climb high hills to get to different pastures?
Oh, no, I didn't mean that. I never have to do or go hard places, but my shepherd is always with me, and he helps me go through these hard places.
But what about the enemies waiting to attack you? The little sheep asked.
My shepherd always guards me, no matter how dangerous it is. He would even lay down his life to protect me.
I wish I had a shepherd I could trust, the little sheep moaned. Talking to the little sheep made Sammy grateful for his shepherd. He also felt sad for the scrawny sheep and wanted to show kindness to her, but he didn't know what to do. Then he had an idea.
Can we be friends? Sammy asked. He noticed that the little sheep's eyes brightened, so he continued. Since you don't have a name, I'm going to call you my friend. The little sheep seemed to stand a bit taller, and she certainly looked happier.
I like that, she said. I'll see you tomorrow.
Same time, same fence, Sammy laughed.
Well, that's the end of chapter one, kids. We'll read chapter two next week. But if you're able to listen, I'm going to use words I think you understand
and show you pictures that I think you'll be able to pick up on. And for adults, I think we naturally can understand things from kids. That's why Adventures in Odyssey is really good, because it breaks it down to make it easy to understand. And we need that as adults. Well, if you would open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 23. Psalm chapter 23, there is a trick, and it doesn't work on my Bible, but normally if you open up a Bible, right in the middle is the book of Psalms. And we are in chapter 23 specifically. So while you go there, what are the Psalms? Well, the Psalms, the word Psalms means praises, and it implies a song that is sung to accompaniment. So it's a lot like what Tim and Kevin and what we were doing earlier with singing and playing our music. And Tom helped too, because having the rhythm is a lot of what makes songs continue. Well, there is something called a superscription. And for us, when we look at this, it just looks like a heading. This is one of the things I like a lot about the book of Psalms. You see here, it says, Psalm 57, for the director of music, to the tune of Do Not Destroy, of David, a Miktam, when he had fled from Saul into the cave. Lots of times we think, okay, that's the editor's notes. But in the Hebrew Bible, that is part of verse 1. That is scripture. And so these superscriptions, these headings, tell us a lot about what's going on. So if we look at Psalm 23, we get to see who wrote it. And can anyone guess who wrote Psalm 23? David, very good. Well, there you go. That is scripture right there. English, we just move it up a little further, but when you read more of the Psalms, always look at what it is, because God has something to teach us in that. Now, for what we call the context is what's going on before and what's going on after. You have to understand what is the surrounding in order to understand what you're talking about. So we have the book of Psalms, and then we have this chapter. Chapter 23 is probably the one chapter most people, especially Christians, know. It's probably the only chapter in the whole Bible that most of us know. Psalm 23 is actually only 57 words in the book of in the Hebrew language. And the part we have today is only 2 words in Hebrew. So it's interesting that God uses little language to speak big things. Well, let's read Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. If you have your Bible, follow along. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version today. This is Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, each week we're going to read that whole psalm, just so we can commit it to memory. But we'll break down a little part of it. So the very first one is 5 words for us, 2 in Hebrew. The Lord is my shepherd. So when we look at the Lord is my shepherd, there's only those few words. The first one we have is Lord. And right before Lord is an article called the. That means it's a proper name. So the Lord has to mean something. Well, for David, the guy who wrote it happened to be a shepherd. And when he was taking care of his sheep, that's when God called him to be the king. So he's a shepherd king. Well, he was talking about this God that called him, the personal God. Now, kids, have you ever seen an idol? Any of you ever seen an idol? Okay, my kids have, because they were with me. There is an idol. I actually saw that at the Denver Zoo. We had just gone through the elephant sanctuary, I guess. and we were going through the end, and this is what greets you. They make a little shrine of it, and then they have this elephant. Who do you think made that? Okay, adults. Who do you think made that? Was it this god or something else? Man, okay. Someone had to carve that. Someone had to choose the metals to put on it. Someone had to choose the coloring. When David is talking, he's not talking about some idol of wood and stone, something dumb and impotent. He's not even talking about the almighty dollar that's so deceptive to many, but he's talking about Yahweh, the ultimate almighty God, the creator of the world. This Yahweh is the one that led them out of Egypt through the wanderings in the desert. He's the same one that provided for him. So when David talks about God being his shepherd, he looks back and remembers those times when God provided for everyone. Jesus in John 10:14 is called the good shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, he's called the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5:4, he's called the chief shepherd. So we see that the New Testament ties in the incarnate God as the guard of the universe, being the good shepherd. Well, let's look at shepherds. There are bad shepherds. If you can see in the picture, especially if you have good eyesight, you see a wolf in the background, and the wolf is eating something white. A bad shepherd is one that does not care what happens to his sheep. I have a book, and it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It was written by a shepherd, but this is what he says. In memory, I can still see one of the sheep ranches in our district, which was operated by a tenant sheepman, someone that's hired. He ought never to have been allowed to keep his sheep. His stock were always thin and weak and riddled with disease and parasites. Again and again, they would come and stand at the fence, staring blankly through the woven wire at the green, lush pasture with which my flock enjoyed. Had they been able to speak, I'm sure they would have said, "Oh, to be free from this awful owner." This is a picture which has never left my memory. It is a picture of pathetic people the world over who have not known what it is to belong to the Good Shepherd, who suffer instead under sin and Satan. So that's a bad shepherd, one that doesn't really care whatever happens to you. But what about a good shepherd? One that takes care of his sheep. You see, good shepherds know their sheep by name. They name every single one of them. Some can be called Fluffy or Yui or Lammy Chops or whatever you want to say. They name them all, and they call them by name. I don't know if you noticed the video at the beginning was a video of a shepherd in somewhere, I believe in Europe. And all he was doing was calling out to the sheep. And for 30 seconds, you think, okay, this is a stupid video. But then you see all these lambs start running towards him because the sheep know his voice and he knows theirs. At the end, he's asked, what does the shepherd want to say? And he says, the shepherd hears them and they hear him. Well, the good shepherd, or a good shepherd, knows everything that's weird about this sheep, all their peculiarities or their tendencies, even the markings that they have on them. A good shepherd never leaves his sheep alone, because if he does, they don't have that assurance. They don't have the safety. They feel alone. So the good shepherd never leaves him. When David was a shepherd, he had to fight off bear and lion. That's what a good shepherd does. It takes care of his sheep. Well, then, if David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, what does that make David? I'll give you a noise hint. Okay, what does that make David? A sheep, yes. So David is calling himself a sheep. Well, that's not a bad thing, technically. In the ancient Middle East, sheep were precious symbols of wealth. Their wool provided yarn for clothing. Their bodies were preferred for sacrifice. Yet sheep are dependent creatures who must be guided to food and water, and protected from wild animals. Now, this is kind of a bummer, but the Bible doesn't compare us as Christians to lions or tigers or bears, oh my, or even snakes. But it compares us to sheep, which are known primarily for their stupidity. Sheep are clueless, they go astray, and they wander off. They have been known to wander over cliffs one after another to their destruction. They're not only clueless, but they're so defenseless that they've known to be beaten up by squirrels. We, like sheep, desperately need to be shepherded. So then the question is, how can the Lord be my shepherd? Well, the same sheep herder, the same shepherd, Philip Keller, says it this way. I recall quite clearly how in my first venture with sheep, the question of paying a price for my ewes was so terribly important. They belonged to me only by virtue of the fact that I had paid hard cash for them. It was money earned by the blood and sweat and tears drawn from my own body during the desperate grinding years of the Depression. And when I bought the first small flock, I was buying them literally with my own body, which had been laid down with this day in mind. Because of this, I felt in a special way that they were in very truth a part of me, and I a part of them. There was an intimate identity involved which, though not apparent on the surface to the casual observer, nonetheless made those 30 ewes exceedingly precious to me. But the day I bought them, I also realized that this was but the first stage in a long-lasting endeavor in which, from then on, I would, as their owner, have to continually lay down my life for them if they were to flourish and prosper. Sheep don't just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. So he was a good shepherd because he cared for his sheep. Now, what about the Lord, the good shepherd? Well, he is the same one that created all of the galaxies, that created all the millions of stars. Yet he's the one that created all the millions of microorganisms. He says that he made you in his image. He made you something special. Before the world began, he knew your name. He heard your voice, and he's saying, "Do you hear mine?" He brought us into being, but God gave us a choice whether we wanted to belong to him or not. Most shepherds wouldn't say, "Okay, sheep, now you have a choice. Okay, you have this guy over here or me over here. Who do you choose?" That's what God did. He said, "Okay, you have the choice. I'm not going to force you to follow me. But if you do, I promise that I will provide all your needs because I'm a good shepherd." Well, we should read Psalm 22, verses 1 and 14. It's just one chapter before 23. This tells us why he is our shepherd. So starting in chapter 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then chapter 22, 14 and 15, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Do you know who that's talking about? You remember on the cross, Jesus is hanging there with all the sins of the whole entire world being placed upon him. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, Pastor Spurgeon, he's noted that it's only after we have read, my God, why have you forsaken me, that we come to the Lord as my shepherd. Unless we have known the sufferings of the shepherd, we cannot fully appreciate the shepherd's care of the flock. So it's only after we've read, my God, why have you forsaken me, and then come to the Lord as my shepherd, that we could understand that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 22 is the context for Psalm 23. God, the Lord, our shepherd, has laid down his life for the ones that he loves, his sheep. Well, I'm going to read you John chapter 10, 11 and 14. This is Jesus talking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So since the beginning of time, religions have decreed that a lamb should give up his life for the shepherd. We know about the sacrifices because if you think back to the story, several weeks in, God said, okay, here's a tabernacle so you can have a way of reaching me. But you're so unclean, you're sinful, that you can't reach me. So if you take a perfect lamb and sacrifice it instead of you, you can actually have fellowship with me. You can be my friend again. The shepherd would bring his lamb to the sanctuary, lean with all his weight on the lamb's head, and confess his sin. Then the lamb would be killed, and its blood would flow out, a life for a life. What irony! Now the shepherd, with a capital S, gives up his life for his lambs. Isaiah 53:5-6 says that he lays down his life for the lambs that have wandered astray. All of the sins have been laid upon him by his stripes. By his death, we are the ones that are saved. So what is the application that we can have from this all? Well, there's a few ways of saying this phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. We can say, the Lord is a shepherd. If you say that, then you're kind of missing something very important, just saying, okay, well, he's one of many. There are many ways to the great sheepfold in the sky. He is a shepherd, and I'm going to follow a shepherd. No, it doesn't say that. We could say, the Lord will be my shepherd. What that means is, well, someday, God, you can be my shepherd. Not now, because I got too many things to do. I want to do what I want to do. But someday, you'll be my shepherd. It's kind of like we want to say that just by saying it, we'll benefit from his care and management without paying the price of forfeiting our own fickle and foolish ways. One can't have it both ways. Either we belong or we don't. Or we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. The difference is one syllable. The difference is one choice. Do you say that, okay, I am my own shepherd. I follow my own things, and I'll do it the way I want. Or you say, okay, God, I realize that you were the one that bought me in the first place, but that you were the one that gave me the ability to be part of your sheepfold. You gave me the ability to be under your care by dying for my sins. Have you ever made that decision? And let's say you have. Have you realized that you need to be under God's care? Like, I can say the past few weeks have been hard following my shepherd because he leads through the valleys of the shadow of death. And he leads through pastures. Yes, they're green, but sometimes you have to hunt for the food. But his presence is always there. He's standing there with his rod and his staff to say, I'm taking care of you. Even though I can't feel him sometimes, I feel like a sheep that knows him, hears him, is wandering up with his head kind of sunken. And the shepherd comes up and says, good to see you. Do you realize that God wants to care for you? I know you don't want it sometimes. I know you want to do what you want to do. Life is really stupid if we do that. And the reason I say that is you know it. Nothing good comes of it. You make your own decisions and it's worthless. You're going to die in that worthlessness unless you realize that there's something greater than yourself, something that's better. And this shepherd says, I'm going to care for you. I will never leave you and I won't forsake you. Even when you don't feel joy, I'm going to have someone text you a devotional that says, find your joy in the Lord, even when you don't feel it. Even though you don't feel like God is giving you sustenance, your devotional is going to read from Elijah, when he was sent to the desert, and God had the brook for him to drink out of, and the ravens brought him food. The shepherd will remind you that he's the one taking care of you, that it's his voice and it's his truth that you listen to. And it's not just platitudes that I say that. It's a beautiful reminder that the Lord is a caring and compassionate God. It reminds us that like sheep, we depend on his care and provision. But being my shepherd, and he can be your shepherd too, means that I can have all of God's attention all of the time, just as though I'm the only one. I may be part of a flock, but I'm one of a kind. Let's pray. And God, again, thank you that you are with us. Please help those of us that are sitting here to realize that you are our shepherd, that you want to be our shepherd, but you've given us a choice whether to follow you or not. But you're going to come after us. You go after the lost and the stray sheep because you love them. And when you find them, you throw a party and rejoice and bring them back to those that you care for. God, as we leave this place today, help us to remember that we're sheep in need of a shepherd. We want to choose you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you would stand, we're just going right into the benediction. The key point, I know I've probably made it clear over and over again, was God is my shepherd. Is God your shepherd too? Well, the benediction is found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And I will read it for you. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm glad you came. I'll see you next week.